In your eyes, what does the perfect product launch look like on Amazon?
Perfect product launch starts before the product selection. So when it comes to a product selection, there are a couple of criteria I would strongly recommend everybody go through it.
What do you think this year the most important thing is for sellers?
So basically how this works is like, if you repeat the keyword multiple times, they're gonna punish you for that.
Someone commented saying like, this is fear-mongering. And I'm like, it's not fear-mongering. It's happened. Like, this is happening.
Your ranking will drop on certain keyword. You lose your Amazon choice on certain keyword.
How do you survive Amazon?
Man, that's a big topic, actually. So, well, let's dive into it. So,
welcome to Surviving Amazon, the podcast that exposes the brutal truth behind selling on Amazon, where only the strongest survive. We bring you insider stories and strategies from experts and sellers who've been through all the ups, the downs, and the moments that made them question if it was even all worth it. I'm Johnny Bradley, and today we're joined by Colin Raja, who's battled his way through the chaos of Amazon selling for a number of years now. He's built a seven-figure business on Amazon, and he's become known in the industry as the expert in product launches, ranking, you know, among other things. Gone are the days where you can just do giveaways or two-step URLs to rank. But even though they're gone, Colin's on the cutting edge of what's working right now. He's lived it, he's survived it, and he's here to share exactly how he does it. So, Colin, how do you survive Amazon?
Man, that's a big topic, actually. So, well, let's dive into it. So I'll give you one example of what happened, typically an example, right? In 2006. So, but that example is going to give you like how it was a problem and how I overcome it and how it became an opportunity,
Okay. Right?
You know, in the soccer, it says like what stops you in a way, it becomes a way. That's what my experience is, right? So I always see things as a problem, as an opportunity. So I took that as a problem, as an opportunity. So what happened 2017 or 16, Amazon started introducing the browse nodes, not only the categories. Why? Because we are abusing the categories like crazy. Why? Because we were in like, not me, I'm talking about in general, everybody.
Allegedly.
Like, yeah, yeah. So they put them in like a phone category or any other category to get the bestseller batch. Mm-hmm. So how they avoid to do that is basically based on my experience, they try to introduce browse nodes and product tab and item tag, right? In 2016 or 17, what happened is they automatically, one of my product was selling like a 500 units a day. So they changed something in the back end. We have no idea what happened. My product selling like a 500 to 10 to 50 average. So now I was like, oh my God, that's freaked me out completely, right? I dealt with so much data. We're trying to figure out what happened. And we found the browse node. I mean, we have no idea what is browse node at that point. So we escalated to the Amazon Jeff Bezos team and every single thing. They sent the whole browse node catalog for us completely.
Right.
So then we figured out, okay, there is something beyond the category what we need to be focused on, right? So then we were like, reach out to them. Hey, can we able to fix it? They were like, they have no idea how to fix it. There's no customer service. They don't have the SOP. They're like, no, everything is good. You're good. We have no idea what to do, actually. So then we escalated. Then we fixed the browse node, product type, item type, and GLDOW. And we were able to be survived back to like 500 sales. Then we took an opportunity and we scraped that data and found what are the sellers who are not taking care of that, who are all like went down in the rabbit, in the hole. And then we take those category and launch the product out of that. We got like a more success out of that. That's how we survived. So basically the end of the goal is like, basically you need to make sure that you know your data, understand, you track the data properly to make sure that you survive in Amazon in much better way. Otherwise you're running a business based on tricks, hacks, and then like lucks. So that's not how you can able to scale to 7 to 8 figure brand. So that's how I did it, man. That's a basic example.
That really goes to show, like you said, where there's a problem, there's an opportunity, right? And many people would have seen that problem and go, okay, cool, we'll overcome that problem, done. You saw that as, hey, other people will have this problem, which means there's something we can execute and something we can like take advantage of or take the opportunity further. And that's just like one instance where you can look at something very basic, like filling out all of your attributes.
Oh yeah. Oh, like, sure. Oh yeah.
A lot of people, they just don't do, because also there's new attributes that are sometimes added and people aren't doing their housekeeping. So even though it's like, hey, this is only a small, tiny little thing, actually that can give you that competitive advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Even more
important
now, right?
It's like this, right? So I've been, if you check my Facebook, I've been talking about this so broad, so vocal about it. It's basically, you talk about the browser node. It's not only the browser node. It's a product type, an item type, geo, and refinements, and attributes. Mm-hmm. Those are the things, it's basic for every single thing. It doesn't matter how the algorithm change. This is so important for Cosmo and Rufus and anything comes up, actually, for you. These are the basic important thing. You have no idea how many brands I work with. Like, I have checked their accounts. They don't even do those things very properly. Mm. They forget their optional attributes, required attributes. One of the funny things what I found is they fill all the child ASINs like a very in a proper way, not even worry about like attributes and everything. But in the parent, they don't even take care of it. The parent is like most important thing. It's like this, right? When you fill your parent, the parent share all the data to the child completely. So you basically missing the big real estate of filling the basic things in your parent. Some of the people, some of the brand, they don't even fill the title, bullet points, and all the things in the parent. I was like, yo, you're missing so many things.
Then that's like, I know you said like a second ago, like all the hacks and all the wins and all the luck and all that sort of stuff. Basically this foundation of things that you need to do. And it's actually not that many things. Would you say that that's fair?
It is not that many, but it's evolving though. Mm-hmm. So many things are coming up right now. For example, what I talked about, like a parent thing and also the child one, right? If you go to the Cosmo and Rufus, like if you go to the Check the Rufus, you will have already all the questions there. Mm-hmm. You will see the questions, what is people are looking for this kind of product? And you can type some of the words, important keywords, you can able to ask. You don't have to go to the answer to public. You can go to the Rufus and type, like, for example, garlic press, you can able to find out all the questions people ask for it. You can take like a major question and then you can put it in your A+ content. That's helpful for your Rufus to get the answer, whatever people want to hear about it, right? So these small things like Rufus, we don't have it before, right? But I'm talking about like when we take a deep look at it, it's like those are super helpful on top of attributes and refinements. So what I'm saying is basically is like, okay, if you want to be seriously running an Amazon business, you constantly need to evolve. Well, because most of the software company, that's why they fail, because they don't innovate. So if you're working on your private label product, you better take a look at all the data, what's coming up new, and what's happening there in your listing, what's happening in your category, what is your competitor doing? Buy your competitor product often, see what are they doing, what kind of emails they're sending. So that's how you can able to evolve and survive in this Amazon market. That's the quick what I can tell you.
So basically keeping the finger on the pulse, because what I see when there's big changes on Amazon, or even small changes, or we go, hey, Rufus, we can do this, and there's this cool strategy where we can, you know, give it the right information that it needs. And a lot of this is learning as we go, right? But as a smaller seller or a new seller, I think you do have an advantage there because you have less to manage. If there's a company with 1,000 SKUs and they're not going to action a lot of this stuff very quickly. Because you know it's a massive time constraint for that number of SKUs. Mm. But also, it's what's the cost, right? Is it even worth it for them at this point in time? So I think that definitely gives people a competitive advantage where they can start from a baseline of, hey, look, we know what the standard is now, and we can start doing that. But you mentioned something really important, which is like basically keeping your finger on the pulse. And for a seller that's doing that, maybe they've been doing it a couple of years, right? What do you feel is the best way to do that?
Best way to be keep on the toes, stay updated. Mm-hmm. I mean, the best way is like, okay, watching your podcast, like you're bringing like a lot of people and also connecting with a lot of good sellers and having be a part of like one of the big good mastermind groups, actually. So I was part of like a multiple and be part of like a value adding to the community. It's like, see, for me, what I found is you share whatever you can and you will get it back whatever you need, actually. Yeah, that's the basic thing. So that's why, I mean, I have like a small mastermind group, like for myself, like a 5 to 6 people. We constantly talk, we constantly evolve. They share what happened. It's for me right now is like we're launching more products. We launch like close to 10, 12 products a month, actually. So because of that, we see the changes. Mm-hmm. We see what's happening. We see the your KPI is like keep changing at that point. So if you're a new seller, you better part of some other community. Mm-hmm. You better watch somebody who's like bringing a lot of new seller experts and talking about it, basically. And keep your data. I mean, check your data. Like, it's not only like your launches. It's like, what are the changes happening? Well, because Amazon constantly changing. I'm not sure Amazon algorithm changing mm-hmm. or somebody who's launching in a different marketplace, they are changing. I seen a product what we launch, product what we maintain, it's constantly changing everything in your attributes and refinements every single time. If you don't stay on top of it, you're probably going to be like losing your opportunity in terms of like, if Amazon change, if you don't take care of, if you don't find it in 24 hours, if you don't fix it in 48 hours, you're probably going to lose your momentum. When you lose the momentum, you slowly drip down. And you were like, one day you wake up and like, what happened? This product was like selling 1,000 units a day. And right now you're selling like 50 units. Can somebody could help me? But nobody could help you because you don't have the data tracked for yourself.
Yeah. And you go to Amazon and you're like, hey, what's going on? They're like, everything's fine.
They're like, oh.
Everything's fine. Nothing's wrong. Yeah. Or just delete the incidents to do it again. So look, one question that I really wanted to ask you, because this is something that I think there's always a way to make it better. And I've never had the perfect answer given to me, right? So here we go. This is the test.
I'm ready.
In your eyes, what does the perfect product launch look like on Amazon?
All right. Okay. The perfect product launch. Perfect product launch start before the product selection.
Okay.
So when it comes to a product selection, there are a couple of criteria. I would strongly recommend everybody go through it. First, if you're buying a product, take a picture of it and take a screenshot of the Amazon page. Put your product in the middle, right? Find if you can able to with your bare eyes, you can able to differentiate anything on your product. If you don't, if it's a similar product, you're probably gonna spend a lot of money and fail terribly.
Mm.
You'll be lucky if you get money back, right? But some people are able to like, if you have a large budget if you have like a $200,000 per launch, of course you can make it much better for sure. Right. But if you're like walking with like a 30,000, 20,000, you want to launch it to go bigger product, bigger market, and you're like same product you're launching it, you're either going to fail today or tomorrow. That's the first thing. Right. The second thing, what is the data advantage? What are the browser nodes? All the bigger product people are there. And what are the keywords they have actually? If you don't have more than 5 browse keywords and more than like 10 purchase keywords, you're probably going to end up in like having another issue actually. Why? Because you're going to compete against the same people.
So are you saying there that there needs to be a diversification of traffic? So that not all the traffic isn't coming from like 1, 2, 3 keywords?
No. Yes. Yes. Why? Because think about it. There are the major sales taken by top 20 people, like top 15 people. Like I would even say like top 10 people or 5 people are taking a major sales. Rest of them spill over, right? Mm-hmm. So if your product, if you have only like a 2-3 keywords and launching it, these guys have already taken that one, right? You need to have like a more than 20 to 30, 40 keywords so you can able to focus on different angle of your product launch. If not, you're probably like spending like a crazy amount of money. Your CPC goes to the roof. I have seen it, man. If the product has like a 1 or 2 keywords and not like a bigger keywords you have, you're probably going to spend like a $9 to $10 on CPC. And if you're selling for $20 product, what kind of profitability are you working on?
Yeah, right? Minus something
that's
or other.
Like you're probably not going to get nothing actually out of that. Mm-hmm. So third one is like, it's better to bring like a micro and macro innovations. Actually. It doesn't have to be like, you could have like a same product, go and then find out why certain people are getting clicks, why certain people are getting conversion. You can use a product opinion, Intellivy, or any of the tools you want, actually, find out this data before even you're launching the product. Then you're making, you will avoid a costly mistake of like, what is going to be, you're going to be, you don't have to purchase the product. You don't have to launch the product. Mm-hmm. You're even able to find out before even launching it. You have so much data within yourself. That's the phase one of a pre-launch, we call it, right? Then a launch, okay, you already have the set of keywords. You already have the browse notes. You already know what category you're going behind. So when you're launching it, the first week is basically for traffic. Amazon required a lot of traffic. They don't care about conversion on the first 1.5 week period of time. I mean, as long as you give like enough traffic, you're going to be like on the top, actually. And before even I go there, I would like to add this one. You don't focus on a bigger keyword, which is like, you don't want to focus on like a, I wouldn't even go like more than 5,000 search volume at any keywords to launch. So I focus on a purchase keywords, how you can differentiate the person, a browse and purchase keyword. You go to the brand analytics, find out, add all the conversion of our top three competitors. If it's more than 15%, it's a purchase keyword. If it's below the 15%, it's a browse keyword. So you take your browse keyword and purchase keyword, launch the purchase keyword. Here's a beauty thing in Apple and Amazon. I've seen even for the current launch, what we've done, for 80,000 search volume keyword, we have not even touched it, but we ranked on like a top 15%. That's how you can able to find, oh, you take all the purchase keyword ranked it, your browse keyword is automatically growing. When you've seen the top, the purchase browse keyword in a 10 position, without even you ranked for it, then you're probably like able to push that keyword by running the PPC, external traffic, then you can push it to the top. If you're running that 80,000 search volume keyword on the first thing, you're probably going to spend crazy amount of money and you're going to be spending for the CPC cost super high. You don't want that one, first one. That's the phase two I'm talking about. It's like a launch. On the first week of it, you don't worry about anything. You don't have to worry about it. There is a KPI for it. For 3 days, you should be able to see the major keyword you're trying to rank in a top 20 position. First 3 days. If you don't see it, there is a problem in your listing. You go and then check it out, actually. So on the first 7 days, you will able to find out all the keywords on the top five positions, okay? And here's the second phase of it. The second phase is like, you try to find out what Amazon recognize in your listing. Like, what is Amazon is like says on your listing by tracking all the keywords. If you go and then find in a Celebro and check, put your ASIN and find out what are the keywords I have not even focused on. I properly done my SEO and everything. What are the keywords are Amazon is automatically ranked, which is like more than 500 search volume. That means those keywords are called Amazon recognized keyword actually. So when you take those keywords and run the launch again with a high PPC, high traffic, if you send it, then you're probably going to see it like in a 4 days, you will able to be find those keywords in a top five position. So take those keywords, for example, let's say that garlic press. So I'm taking garlic and press. So I'm adding another keyword called stainless steel. These two keywords are more relevant. And if you add a stainless steel on top, you will also get better relevance for stainless steel. As long as you mentioned in your images, you mentioned in your listing properly, so you will able to get better relevancy for stainless steel. So we call this as like a keyword linking. Okay. So you link the keyword, whatever it's like higher relevancy, add one keyword and take the stainless steel and garlic and add another keyword after the launch. So you keep moving forward like that. So that's where we found it's a perfect way. I mean, perfect way in our perfect way to launch the product. It could be like multiple ways to do it. So this is how we found that's it, man. I mean, after that, you just keep moving forward. You track the data, move forward out of that.
Yeah. So is it what you're doing then? Is it you're saying in the first few weeks, you're saying, hey, Amazon, this is our product. So here's the thing, the keywords that are relevant to us. And because you're not competing as much for the PPC on those lower search volume keywords, you're able to get the exposure you need, top of search or wherever it's going to be, depending on the, you know, your campaign objectives. You get those sales and then they go, Amazon goes, oh, okay, cool. You're similar to these products. These products also rank for this main keyword, the 80,000 search. So we're gonna give you a bit of exposure there. And then through doing this, you're gradually moving the needle towards these higher volume search terms where you're able to get those more sales. And also, of course, there's probably more search terms going horizontally as well, going wider. So eventually you're just slowly moving that needle. But at the start, you're not getting wrecked by, you know, $5, $10 bids on keywords that you're not going to convert for anyway, because you've got, you know, no reviews.
I mean, you don't want to, first of all.
Yeah.
You don't want to. I mean, you're probably going to like spend a lot of money. I mean, most of the brands I work with, they were like trying to, recently I was encountered one of the brand actually, they were like trying to rank one big niche, going into like ranking for two keywords, which is like huge. Okay, if you don't have any kind of supportive keywords for a bigger keyword, like your browse keywords, you're probably going to like, most of you, I mean, we were watching this, you might have encountered this, right? You might have ranked for like a top keyword on the top. In a 1 week, you'll be like to the, like in the bottom actually again. So why that happened is like, you don't have any kind of supportive keywords, what you're running behind your major keyword. So we don't focus on the major keyword first. So we focus on like purchase keyword and focus on it, like a launch it on the top. Then you will able to see automatically at coming. If that's not coming, that means you missed a couple of more purchase keyword. Add that one in your listing, add that one in your launch, then you will be able to see the better results on the, on your launch.
Nice. So for the launches as well, the question comes up is, how am I getting the traffic? Are you doing, you know, PPC, influencer marketing, or email lists, like for existing brands? What does that typically look like in terms of like the best results or the most reasonable results?
Okay, the most reasonable, if you want the most reasonable result, you basically need a Google Ads. You need to run a Google Ads completely. Like it's specifically to get an eye on your product completely. You could do a Google Ads, or you can find somebody who can run ads for you, right? Or getting a clicks for you. Either way, whatever way you want. So you better like get clicks for your product. It's basically, we have done this one before. We ran a coupon code, which is like, we say like, okay, it's this coupon code valid only like a top four purchase. Like only four purchase a day, you can get the coupon code. So that means people go and then take the coupon code, apply your product, add to carts. So that's like a major factor for ranking right now. So, and then after that, you probably can do like a little bit of traffic if you want to do the giveaway, if you have like a traffic list, if you want to do the giveaways, that's huge difference what you can make out of your launch. But if you able to differentiate your niche, you can just run a PPC to rank any keyword.
So
but if
you
don't,
Amazon PPC, but then you're also running Google as well.
Oh yeah, we divide up keywords into four categories: C1, C2, C3, C4, right? Complexity 1, complexity 2, complexity 4. The complexity 1 keywords are basically, you can just put up your listing. It automatically show you on the top. Those are like complexity 1, nobody focusing on it. This is to build a momentum on your listing. Mm-hmm. Complexity 2, you need to run a PPC actually. You just need to run a PPC. You can able to see your keywords are ranked much better. The complexity 3 keywords, you need to run a PPC. You need to run external traffic, which is like Google Ads, to get the add to carts, or sending a people to go and then like purchasing the product from you, like something like that. Then that's the second or third one. The complexity 4, it's basically like you need to run an add to carts plus like the external traffic, PPC, plus giveaways or whatever you can. If you have a list, if you have a email list or anything, if you do that one, then those keywords will be ranked. The fifth one is like, it doesn't matter what you do, that keyword is not going to rank. It doesn't matter what you do, right? You don't have to stressful for those keywords. You wait to build the relevancy for relevant keyword. For example, I'm trying to rank a keyword which is like a plastic garlic press. Those keywords are not ranked at all, whatever I do. You don't have to worry about it. Go and then look, take an n-gram, basically. It's like an n-gram, which is like you divide those keywords into small pieces, which are like plastic, stainless, plastic, garlic, and press, three keywords. Go and build the relevancy for those three words by combined with whatever you ranked for. For example, you ranked already like kitchen garlic press, right? So You already ranked for kitchen. You already ranked for garlic. So go and then find out what are the other keywords relevant to garlic press at this point. So go and then find out, let's say, like a high-end garlic press, our best garlic press. So when you build a relevancy for that keyword, you automatically able to build it, and you're able to find out, okay, I already ranked for garlic and press. The plastic is only missing. So let me go and then rank for plastic keyword. when you do it, you automatically will be able to build a higher relevancy for your keyword. And also, you wait for your momentum. Some of the time, one of your competitor will go out of stock. Some of the times, they will go on a listing issue, browse not issue, or anything. So you track every single day. When the day that they go in a problem, at that point of time, go and then knock them out completely.
So can you think of this like an upside down funnel? At the bottom, you've got the keyword that you want to rank for, right? Plastic. Got it. Above that, you go, well, how can I get garlic in there and press in there? What words can combine to make this, right? And what words can combine to make that, depending on, you know, how hard it is to get to that keyword. So that you've got, oh, maybe there's another way to, like a tree, right? You've got all of these keywords. Eventually, that one plus that one equals that one. And that one plus that one equals that one. Eventually, until you get to the keywords, you know, the hero keyword, you're like, oh my God, yes, thank you for ranking me here.
That's exactly what it is. So I would say this is not a product launch. It's a keyword launch. There's no more a product launch. It's all a keyword launch. How many keywords you have, you divide into different phases. You move the keywords from pre-launch, launch, maintenance, and growth. So you need to move all the keywords into stages. So that's where we come in like a very advantage, because we track the data in terms of like very, very close. We like move all the keywords from launch, pre-launch, launch, maintenance, and growth. Well, because each and every stage required different things. When it comes to a pre-launch, you just like staged everything very well. Like phase one, phase two, phase three, you really stage it very well. And during the launch, you run a traffic like a very crazy to make sure that you give the enough traffic. You don't have to give like, when the search volume is 1,000, you don't want to give like a 2,000 traffic. It's not required. You run a traffic and run a PPC also what is required. For example, if you need only like a 10 clicks, you have a budget for only 10 clicks. You don't want to give like a 20 clicks budget. So you keep it under the search volume what is required. And also the third one is like basically you find if it's a growing keyword or a drop keyword. Is it like a declining keyword? In that way, you can able to find out, for example, some of the gift keywords right now, it's like a growing because of the Christmas season. So if you able to take any keywords like 1,000 search volume in December, right now it's like a zero search volume. It's like a very advantage for you because most of the sellers don't focus on the zero search volume completely. So you take these keywords, run the PPC, run an external traffic, you can be able to rank for it. At the time of the December, you can able to like harvest all the things, whatever you launch actually.
How soon in advance? So if I'm going for Valentine's Day or, you know, I'm going for summer or, you know, Black Friday, Halloween, how long in advance do I really want to be looking at
that? I think 60 days.
Yeah.
60 days. I think 45 days, it's okay. Any keyword having a higher traffic, it won't go from zero to 1,000 immediately. You don't know like that. If you go on and search the traffic, if you go on and check like even brand analytics, or if you go on and check the Helium 10 data, you will able to see like the traffic is like slowly moving actually. Not like immediately spike to, it's a percentage of growth will be there. There's like a start from 50%, 100%, 200%, 300% growth will be there. It won't spike up. If it spike up like that, it's like a TikTok or any other traffic, something coming up. But if you want like a see the regular trends, like a Valentine's Day or gift keywords or anything, it will have like a slow trend. People buy it and go to the peak. So if it's 45, 60 days, it's an average. You can able to find out that you can part of the slow trend. If you want to be like, oh, you want like in a 45 days, you can able to be like seen. It already have the traffic. It's already having the enough data for you to launch actually. But if you 60 days is like a typical for us, we found any keyword which I want to take advantage of the growth, you can able to take a 60 days. That you need to go on and check last year data. That's all.
So you just go to brand analytics and go, hey, let me look at this year, this week, you know, a year ago.
And also it's like, you can also, if you want to find a new keyword, that's also a trend you can able to find out in a 45 days. You can able to see like, okay, it's like slowly, okay, 10%, 15%, 20%, 30%. That keyword is like growing like that exponentially. And then you can, it's like, okay, all right, you know, there is a growth in this. Let me go and take care of that at that point.
Okay, yeah, amazing. Now, you've been like in the Amazon game for 12 years, right? Coming up to 12 years. So
close to 12 years.
A lot has changed. In the last year or so, actually, let me rephrase that. What do you think this year or this coming 12 months, the most important thing is for sellers?
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, my God. Okay. So 2021, we were in a relevancy model. We were in a relevancy model, which is like, you do like a, so, okay, this is how you can rank keyword in 2021, right? 2021, 2022. You could introduce any keyword, right? And repeat a number of times you repeat, you get the higher relevancy. So you can able to see people do like a keyword dumping. They will say garlic press, stainless steel garlic press. They will say like, okay, is the garlic's best garlic press and all the things in the title, right? That's how you get relevancy. And if you get like a higher CTR and CVR, you can able to rank keyword. Right now, we are in like a dynamic re-ranking model. The ranking is like check every 24, every hour. And I would say if I'm right, I would say like every hours they check the dynamically checking the sales and ranking things actually at that point. So the dynamic re-ranking model is how it works. It's semantically keyword mapped, and also it's using the NLP model, and also you can able to check all this data using a competent AI, right? In Amazon. So basically how this works is like, if you repeat the keyword multiple times, they're going to punish you for that. The Amazon punishing for any time that you're repeating the keyword, right?
And it feels wrong, you're like, if you go into your keywords, you think, okay, I need to delete my keywords because I need to make it more relevant from a conversational point of view. Yeah. It feels wrong. You know, if you've been doing this for a few years, you're like, this doesn't feel right.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like have you ever had this around that 2021, you know, kind of time, you know, people said, well, but I put the keyword in my title. Should I put it in my backend keywords? You know, because Amazon said you don't need to repeat keywords, but you're like, oh, I'll just put it in anyway. Right. Just in case.
Yeah. So the funny thing is on this is like, most people, like any bigger sellers who are doing much better, they come and disagree to me, my statement. What I'm trying to say is like, because in the algorithm, there is a formula for it, right? The formula is basically when you have a higher sales, they don't worry about all these SEO things. If you have a higher sales, you already beating up the formula is like the sales. Your relevancy percentage and your product type and item type, browse node percentage, and then review percentage and also rating percentage. Those are add up to your total of your n gram in terms of like it gives a value for that particular keyword, and you get ranked for it based on that, right? That's what the algorithm formula is basically. If you have a higher ranking, that gives like a 50%, 60% advantage for you to rank much better. Let's say that you have 1,000 sales coming out of that keyword specifically, then you don't need to be worried about all other factor. But here's the funny thing, what happens when you get down in terms of like because of the out of stock or because of the compliance issue or because of something happened in your browse node or something happened in your sales got dropped, you kick back on the whole algorithm. At that point, people not able to rank for it at all. So the basic thing, what you need to do is like, if you're selling much better, you're aware of like what are the things that happen in your listing. Anything that changes at that point, anything that your sales changes, you better go update it. Otherwise, you're probably not able to bring it back again. Or if you can manipulate that thing again for a week, you can able to bring it back again. That's the changes happening, man. It's not a lot of people not able to adapt and accept what's going on. But if they don't get adapt, you're probably going to lose all your product, whatever you ranked already.
I got this comment on one of my YouTube videos where I was talking about Cosmo and Rufus and like, hey, this is here now, right? We got it in the UK a few weeks ago in beta. And obviously it's started in the US quite long, you know, the beginning of this year. And someone commented saying, like, this is fear mongering. And I'm like, it's not fear mongering. It's happened. Yeah. Like this is happening. It's happening. And yeah, you're right. If you've got a ton of sales, fantastic. But if those sales dry up, then you're going to be left having a problem. But also, it's a slow and painful death, which I've seen this with sales so many times. It's not 1 week. It's like six months, a year of this slow decline. Maybe their sales are even increasing, right? Because there's more traffic on Amazon, but maybe their market share is actually going down. And they're percentage as a ratio getting less sales than they were of the market before. But you mentioned about like going out of stock, compliance issues, you know, all of these things where you could just be taken down straight away. And obviously the biggest one that newer sellers face or newer products face within that first year is out of stock, right?
Yeah.
What's the best practice for when you do come back into stock? Let's say you've been out for like a month.
Okay. Now, before I go to that, I want to add on topic whatever we talked about. So it's like slow kill. How we identify that slow kill is like your ranking will drop on certain keyword. You lose your Amazon choice on certain keyword. So that's where you can identify you're getting slow kill. Somebody poisoned you already. The Amazon has already poisoned you. You're not going to die right now, right away. You're probably going to die in another 3-4 months. And the day that you look back and like, oh my God. So it's like every month you're like 10% drops happen. Like at the end of the day, you're like, what happened? Why am I here? I was selling really good. What happened here? So that's the most question I've been got most from the big brands, actually, you know. But if you want to avoid it, keep the data straight in terms of like check your ranking very well, check your attributes very well. That's where you can able to find out. All right, let's go back to the question, right? Most of the times, right, when you come to like a new out of stock for 30 days and you're trying to come back, right? You got to go and then check back. You can see most of the time you can able to get it back in the 7 days. If you don't have any backend problem, if you're tracking your everything very well, you're probably able to get it back in the 7 days. 7 days is the average time you can able to get it back. You don't have to get panic for the first 7 days. You'll able to get it back most of the things. Until otherwise, okay, there are two problems here. One, you were out of stock. Immediately, you're gone completely. And your history was there and you're gone and you're completely like, your listing was like completely zero. You're not making any sales from the day that you're out of stock. The out of stock, the second set of out of stock is like, oh, you have like 100 stock and every day your percentage of sales is going down. Like your sales was like gone down from 50%, 25%, 10%, and it comes like 1 and 2. That one is a problem, man. That one is a problem.
You build a negative history. Because the question comes, just to make sure we got clarity here. If I know I'm going out of stock, I'm going to increase my price, I'm going to drop my PPC so that I can just slow my sales a bit. Is that kind of what you're saying, rather than a compliance issue?
That's what people do right now. Yeah, I don't think that's a great way. I think you should go out of stock right away. Mm-hmm. You don't go out of stock, mm-hmm. right? I think you should be go out of stock like, okay, from 100 to 100 sales I got and I out of stock. Mm-hmm. And you close the list, the listing was like completely closed, like, and then Amazon is not publishing anything like other products and anything that completely closed. That listing, I can able to bring it back, those listings very easy. Mm-hmm. Compared to slow drop sale, combine that, it's a very harder actually. Why? Because you build a negative history on that, your listing. So either way, these are two problems, right? Either way, you will able to see your keyword ranked on a 7 days. Yeah. If you don't see it, right, you probably have to do a mini launch. I mean, you don't have to close the listing. You don't have to open the listing. You don't have to do nothing. I would say people increase the price during the out of stock. I would say reduce the price to go out of stock super fast, right? And then go out of stock faster. And 7 day, you can able to find out, you can able to bring back the keyword. If not, you go through the product launch properly in a next one phases of it. It's going to cost you like $4,000 or $5,000, but you can able to bring that back easy. Mm.
So, and this is the thing that I've always said to people is if you know you're going out of stock, no matter what, just get rid of your stock as quickly as possible. You know, if you think, do you know what, this is only going to be 4 days out of stock, then yeah, maybe slow things down a bit and then, you know, pull it back up again so that you stay in stock. But if you're definitely going out of stock, who cares if you go out of stock a week earlier? It's not really going to make a massive difference. But you get all of those good sales and the big bump in your BSR and keywords, which, you know, I personally think it makes a difference. You know, you do too. You know, we're not inside Amazon. We don't know exactly what's going on. But it's just like anecdotally, it makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. Whatever you said is right. If you're gonna be restocked in a 4 days, yeah, you can slow it down and then we can able to bring that back. If you're gonna be like solidly know that you're gonna be like 30 days out of stock, go out of stock faster.
Mm.
That's the best way right now at this point. Yeah.
With launching on Amazon, is it a money game now? What I mean by this is, and I think I know your answer, right? But like, can you out-strategize someone rather than just outspend them?
By bringing the innovation into the market. You can outrank anybody if you have the innovation and if you have the data in place to make sure that what you're going behind. You could even able to go on like a crowded market. If you have innovation bringing in place, you can able to outrank everybody, whatever you have. But again, innovation as in like you're solving the same problem, but you're differentiated. You can go and then see some of the listings, like you, all the products look completely white. And if you're like bringing up like a black, different innovation, different listing, different things, you're probably going to outrank every single person. Why? Because there is like a higher advantage for you that you have when you bring in the innovation in place.
Well, that's, you know,
it is a costly. Yeah.
You said about like product opinion in Tel Aviv earlier. I'm a big advocate of using, you know, services or tools like that. You know, you can do these things manually and whatever. And I used to, but using a software or a tool has definitely been a lot easier. And
Yes. So
like we will validate, we can stand out with a hero image and the price and with less reviews before ever even purchasing the product. And Hey, look, if it needs to be a different color, cool. We'll find the different color. We'll source that. If the box needs to be designed this way, if it needs to be blue and it needs to have this like orange line through it, cool. We will actually physically make it that way. But do all of that through testing, because if you can't stand out, you can't run PPC effectively, you can't then rank. And I think that's such, we have a benefit now, right, of having these tools and this knowledge, and we have brand analytics and a lot of stuff that in 2017, when I first started, didn't have that. It was do some discount and, you know, give away your products basically.
Yeah.
And that worked. You could just go like bang right to the top, like really easily, you know, not like that anymore. And you meet a lot of sellers, right? A ton of sellers, lots of brands. And I think what you've alluded to today is that data is so, so important, you know, understanding your data, tracking your data. Would you say that this is an area where a lot of sellers are falling short? And in which case, what data are they not tracking?
That's a big topic, actually, very honestly. We track close to 350 set of data. I'm talking about, we have a format right now. We also track for other sellers, other brands right now. I'm talking about your front end, your back end, your attributes. I'm talking about your keywords. You're talking about your PPC. You're talking about your inventory. You're talking about like inventory locations. What are the inventory locations? And how many stocks you have, and what are the percentage of keyword you're ranked for. I'm talking about like every single thing in your listing. If any time that your product is making minimum, I'm talking about like close to $500,000 or $300,000 per year, you better have all these. Why? Because if you don't have it, you're probably going to get into one set of issues. Why? Because either Amazon will fuck you up or a competitor can fuck you up, right? You were like, what happened? You don't want that surprise. You don't want like a surprise that's like, oh my God, what happened? I have heard from so many people, man. We have been tracking for them like completely right now from 360 to data checkpoint. It's so much important. The recovery time is super fast if you have the data. If you don't have the data, your recovery time is super slow, you'll take a week, you lose the momentum, and you're like in a stress. I mean, forget about all the things, right? I'm talking about like you waking up and thinking like, oh my God, can I fix this problem? Am I going to spend the time 10 hours in Amazon talking about like a dumb people who don't even understand what I'm talking about? I'm trying to find a one person who can understand what I'm talking and they can fix this problem, actually. How many times do you go through that issue?
Oh man, it's every time.
Exactly, right? I mean, if you know this is happening, Why not put up a data point in place to make sure, track it? Why? Because either way, today or tomorrow, you're going to go through it for each and every listing what you have.
You never think it's going to happen to you, but it always does at some point. You're in the game long enough, something happens. And I think of this like, this might be a weird analogy, but if you were in a submarine, right? And you know, if something goes wrong, you're dead, basically. You can't get out of it. And if if something did go wrong, the only thing you had was a red light that said warning, or like, hey, something's gone wrong. And you'd be, oh my God, what's wrong? Well, let's go check the engines. Let's go check this. You wouldn't know what to check and you would eventually die, right? You'd just get blown up or whatever. Whereas obviously what happens on a submarine is everything is being checked. Everything has a result or a metric, so that if something does go wrong, there's a sensor and it goes, okay, there, that's where the problem is. You go and fix it. And I think that is kind of what you're saying of this 360 approach to data is, if you have the data, you can analyze it quickly and you can see where the problem is and then fix it accordingly. And if that is a space, it might take you an hour to do that. But if you didn't have the data, it might have taken you a week, right? Or longer, because then, hey, Amazon's done some nonsense and you can't get back. And then you're dealing with seller support, who are very, very helpful always. And and then it's 4 weeks have gone by and nothing's happened, right? You've escalated to who knows, you know, director at Amazon, whatever. I think that's a really good approach, but the reason why I think a lot of sellers maybe don't necessarily do that is because, one, it's like super boring. And no one wants to spend their cash on data, right?
Yeah.
Until they see, oh, this is really worth it, right?
Yeah.
And then for people like yourself, you're like, we want to put as much effort as humanly possible into data.
Yeah.
Because we know it has a positive ROI.
It's an insurance. It's an insurance. It's like, I recently did a paragliding, actually. I mean, when I do the paragliding, they have a parachute, actually. It's like having a parachute when you're doing a paragliding. And also it's like taking a signal of where they can get a heat map and go up, go down, actually. Mm. So when you have such a data, you can able to find out why your sales are up and why your sales are down. I would say any seller, any brands, if you don't know why your sales are going up and why your sales are going down, you're probably running your business with a lock, or probably running a business with like a some kind of la-la land, actually. You build a business out of la-la land and you are like, okay, Amazon bringing the traffic, I'm taking advantage of the data of Amazon and I'm growing it, but without even knowing like what is the data breakdown of all the data points. For example, one of the things what we recently found out, damn, I don't want to share that, but I would love to. Let's see. So, okay, take a keyword, right? Go to the search query performance. Take the keyword you already ran, okay? Go to the search query performance and put the ASIN and take that ASIN basically, go and then find out what is the percentage of click share you got out of that ASIN. Right? Mm-hmm. So you got like, okay, your percentage of click share is like a 2% and top one is like a 7%. You want to identify why that guy is getting a 7% and why you're getting like a 2%, go to the product opinion. Put up that same set of people who are over there and put it up there in attributes like that and find out who is getting like why they're getting higher share. Then you break down the data point completely.
And
you know exactly why they 7% and why you're getting 2%. So modify that first image really properly. What, because you don't need to go through anything else. Your click percentage, click share is like basically like somebody can able to click on your listing, somebody's able to click on. You do like a two variation test. One, which is like, don't change the pricing, don't change the reviews, don't avoid the reviews, run the test completely. Then you can able to find, okay, what exactly people like that one? Is it like a brand? Is it like an image? Is it like a pricing? Is it like review? What they more trust? Then you can able to know, okay, is it like a review? Oh, because this guy has a high review, they're getting it. So your focus should be, how can I get more review from that point? In a 6 months down point, you can get close to the guy to get the higher review, you can get the higher percentage. So you know the clear point, like when you get higher reviews and you can get like a higher, that's the niche is basically focusing on. Mm-hmm. Some niche, they don't even focus on review. They, as long as like the pricing, then you can able to find, okay, if this is a price they're looking for, can I able to afford that pricing? If not, where I should be place my product to get a better advantage of that one. So if these two data is done, then you focus on just images. Like how can I able to win the image? I'm able to find out that I can able to get it much bigger. I have seen, man, if your image is like winning it, like a very, very exponentially, people don't even able to focus on reviews and all this stuff. You can able to win your pricing, win your images. So the first test is easy at that point. It's like, okay, the two tests we're doing, one test to identify why the reviews, why the images. The one test to find out, let's say basically, how we can win using the images to avoid my negativity of reviews and then a pricing.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, that one is like brings up like a crazy good results for me. It's super easy to find. See, we just identified this thing recently. Mm-hmm. You take a major keyword, you're already there. And why you're not converting, why you're not getting higher click share.
And just start to find out what that is. And I've seen some crazy feedback from this, like particularly using video when you can record people like, you know, them shopping on Amazon. We were doing one for a product that was electronic, and this was pre-launch. So we were testing things out prior to actually launching the product. And we found out that people were saying, oh, I really like the one with the lightning bolts, right? You know, they have the charging socket lightning bolts. I hated it. I just don't like that as a graphic design thing. I think it looks stupid. It doesn't really do that. However, a lot of customers were going, yeah, this one with the lightning bolt. And they were calling that out. So, all right, drop my ego. Let's change ours to have a lightning bolt. But rather than have it just in blue, have it in blue and orange. And try to stand out from the other lightning bolt. And lo and behold, you run that as a test. You have your baseline test. You run another one. Okay, we've improved upon that. Okay, let's see if we can improve even further. And one thing interesting you said about reviews, I think is really important. You know, you can do those tests offline and take the seller that you're trying to judge yourself against and decrease their reviews, increase their reviews, increase yours, decrease yours, and see where's the baseline? What do we have to change to actually make a difference? And you can do it with price, you can do it with coupons. Quite often we'll test coupons and strike through price, which has a better impact, because some products, a coupon's gonna work better. Another product, it's just gonna be the price because people care about price.
Yeah.
I think all those things are so, so important.
Very important, man. I mean, whatever you said, it's all, what do we do? What are we doing at this point? Actually, we do like a multi-variation testing to making sure that can be able to have a taking advantage of. If it's a common product, how can I able to take advantage of it, actually? For example, it's like a face mask. It's like there are 1,000 face masks there. Mm. And how can I able to take advantage of it? By putting up a coupon code, by putting up like a slash prices, or putting up like a reviews, increase it. So how can I able to navigate the space by doing enough testing? You could able to identify all the information for you. And also this is what I use in a search query performance is like only 30% of search data. People take more important for search query. I don't do it. I use the percentage, whatever they have. That's the baseline for me to improve my product. Not like, oh, why am I not getting this such volume? Why am I not getting click? That's not most important thing for me. For me, okay, am I getting enough click share? That's where we're able to find out. I rank this keyboard on the top. Am I getting a click enough share? So the ranking is like one of the factor you can able to find, as long as you're getting like a top 10 click share, mm-hmm. and you can able to see yourself in the brand analytics. That's the most important tracking data what you need to have compared to keyword ranking at this point.
Okay, amazing.
Well, because keyword ranking is like a geo ranking. If your listing was the stock is there and you have like done a good SEO and you have done a proper ranking prospect on all the locations, you're good at that point. But at the end of the day, what you need to check is like, if you're in a top 10 position, go on and check the search query performance. Are you getting a click share there? Mm. If you're not getting a click share, it doesn't matter what you rank there. You're not getting clicks at all. If you're not getting clicks, you're not getting sales.
Yeah, that's well, it, absolutely. And that's the thing. One of those things, SEO, I mean, that's really for Amazon. The image,
yes.
That getting that click, that's the customer. And ultimately, customers choose with their clicks who they're going to buy. How do people find out more? Because there's no way that we can truly get all of your information out of your brain in an hour, right? So maybe a little bit longer. How do people learn a little bit more about yourself? What's the best platform to reach you on? If they want to work with you guys, how do we reach you?
Okay, you can able to reach me out in LinkedIn, Colin Raja, or you can able to find out Colin Raja in Facebook. Those are the best places you can able to find me. And also I have more content. I'm putting it on basically like all the things what I talking about, I break it down. More content is coming up soon. You can able to learn more about what changes is happening. Why? Because we constantly testing like crazy. You're able to find out what is going on, what's happening, in terms of like launch, in terms of maintenance, what tool you need to use. That's where you can able to find me more details.
Nice, amazing. I'll link those down in the descriptions where relevant. And thanks again, Colin, for helping us survive on Amazon. Now, if you like this episode, everyone, please do share it with other sellers that will also find it helpful. Subscribe, comment, like if you're watching on YouTube or wherever you're watching or listening, so we can help other sellers continue to survive Amazon. Thanks again, and we'll see you all soon. Bye-bye.